was all he did know. For some length of time that seemed very long, and so was, since the pain and the stormy haze were the only two things which existed, those sounds were the only outer reality. He had no idea who he was or where he was, and cared to know neither. He wished he was dead, but through the pain-soaked haze that filled his mind like a summer storm cloud, he did not know he wished it. As time passed, he became aware that there were periods of non-pain, and that these had a cyclic quality. And for the first time since emerging from the total blackness which had prologued the haze, he had a thought which existed apart from whatever his current situation was. This thought was of a broken-off piling which had jutted from the sand at Revere Beach. His mother and father had taken him to Revere Beach often when he was a kid, and he had always insisted that they spread their blanket where he could keep an eye on that piling, which looked to him like the single jutting fang of a buried monster. He liked to sit and watch the water come up until it covered the piling. Then hours later, after the sandwiches and potato salad had been eaten, after the last few drops of Kool-Aid had been coaxed from his father's big thermos, just before his mother said it was time to pack up and start home, the top of the rotted piling would begin to show again, just a peak and a flash between the incoming waves at first, then more and more. By the time their trash was stashed in the big drum with Keep Your Beach Clean stenciled on the side, Polly's beach toys picked up. That's my name, Polly. I'm Polly. And tonight Ma put Johnson's baby oil on my sunburn, he thought inside the thunderhead where he now lived. And the blanket folded again. The piling had almost wholly reappeared, its blackish, slime-smooth sides surrounded by sudsy scuds of foam. It was the tide, his father had tried to explain. But he had always known it was the piling. The tide came and went, but the piling stayed. It was just that sometimes you couldn't see it. Without the piling, there was no tide. This memory circled and circled, maddening, like a sluggish fly. He groped for whatever it might mean, but for a long time the sounds interrupted. Fayun. Read everything. Umber one. Sometimes the sound stopped. Sometimes he stopped. His first really clear memory of this now, the now outside the storm haze, was of stopping, of being suddenly aware he just couldn't pull another breath. And that was all right. That was good. That was, in fact, just peachy keen. He could take a certain level of pain, but enough was enough, and he was glad to be getting out of the game. Then there was a mouth clamped over his, a mouth which was unmistakably a woman's mouth in spite of its hard, spitless lips. And the wind from this woman's mouth blew into his own mouth and down his throat, puffing his lungs. And when the lips were pulled back, he smelled his warder for the first time, smelled her on the outrush of the breath she had forced into him, the way a man might force a part of himself into an unwilling woman. A dreadful mixed stench of vanilla cookies and chocolate ice cream and chicken gravy and peanut butter fudge. He heard a voice screaming, "Breathe, goddammit! Breathe, Paul!" The lips clamped down again. The breath blew down his throat again, blew down it like the dank suck of wind which follows a fast subway train, pulling sheets of newspaper and candy wrappers after it, and the lips were withdrawn. And he thought, for Christ's sake, don't let any of it out through your nose. But he couldn't help it. And oh, that stink, that stink, that fucking stink. "Breathe, goddamn you!" the unseen voice shrieked. And he thought, I will, anything, please just don't do that anymore, don't infect me anymore. And he tried. But before he could really get started, her lips were clamped over his again, lips as dry and dead as strips of salted leather, and she raped him full of her air again. When she took her lips away this time, he did not let her breathe out, but pushed it and whooped in a gigantic breath of his own, shoved it out, waited for his unseen chest to go up again on its own, as it had been doing his whole life without any help from him. When it didn't, he gave another giant whooping gasp, and then he was breathing again on his own, and doing it as fast as he could to flush the smell.